Nirvishesha. Could you translate into Russian? Yeah, well, at least for them, they don't speak English. It's Parivochak. I'll try and go slowly. Medlin. Om Agyana Tvanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Vitam Cha Hey Krishna, Karna, Sindo, Dinabando, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namosute, Tapta, Kanchena, Gorangi, Radhe, Brinda, Vaneshwari, Prishubhanu, Siddha, Devi, Pranamami, Hari, Priye, Vancha, Kalpa, Trivyascha, Kripa, Sinu, Vivacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shedvaiti Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 5 Chapter 19 The Island of Jambudvip. Do you need a book or something to... You can use something like a little... You don't have a little electronic book? Here, you can use this. You know how to use these things? Something like that. Do you know what truth is? Okay, don't worry about it. Are you good? Are you okay? Yeah, just have a seat. Sorry. Yadi Atra Na Swarga Sukha Avasheshitam Shvistasya Su Utkasya Kritasya Shobanam Tena Ajanabe Smriti Mat Janma Na Syat Varshe Hari Yat Bhajatam Sham Tanoti Yadyatrana Swarga Sukhavasheshitam Shristasya Suktasya Kritasya Shovanam Tena jana ve smriti majjanma nasya. Varshe harir yad bhajatam shamdhanoti. Yad yatra na swarga sukhavasheshitam. Shristasya suktasya kritasya shobanam. Tena janabe smriti majjanmanasya. Varshe harir yad bhajatam shamdhanoti. Atra, in the heavenly planets, na of us, swarga sukha avisheshitam, whatever remains after the enjoyment of heavenly happiness. Su ishtasya of a perfect sacrifice. Su uktasya of diligently studying the Vedic literature. Doesn't sound very enthusiastic. Of diligently. Yeah, better to use the book. This is a little inconvenient. Kritasya of having performed a kind act. Shobhanam, the resultant actions. Tena, by such a resultant action. Ajanabe, in the land of Varsha. Smriti mat janma, a birth. Enabling one to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Naha of us. Syat, let there be. Varshe, in the land. Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yat, wherein. Bhajatam, of the devotees, Sham Tanoti expands the auspiciousness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. We are now living in the heavenly planets, undoubtedly as a result of our having performed ritualistic ceremonies, pious activities, and jagas, and having studied the Vedas. However, our lives here will one day be finished. We pray that at that time, if any merit remains from our pious activities, we may again take birth in Bhardvarsha as human beings able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind that He personally comes to the land of Bhardvarsha and expands the good fortune of its people. Please repeat. We are now living in the heavenly planets, undoubtedly, as a result of our having performed ritualistic ceremonies, pious activities, and jagas, and having studied the Vedas. However, our lives here will one day be finished. We pray that at that time, if any merit remains from our pious activities, we may again take birth in Bhardvarsha as human beings able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind that He personally comes to the land of Bhardvarsha and expands the good fortune of its people. Purport. It is certainly as a result of pious activities that one takes birth in the heavenly planets. But from those planets, one must nevertheless come down again to earth. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Shine Punye Martya Loka Vishanti. Even the demigods must return to earth to work like ordinary men when the results of their pious activities expire. Nevertheless, the demigods desire to come to the land of Bhardvarsha, even if a small portion of the merits of their pious activities remains. In other words, to take birth in Bhardvarsha, one must perform more pious activities than the demigods. In Bhardvarsha, one is naturally Krishna conscious. And one further cultivates his Krishna consciousness by the grace of Krishna, he certainly expands his good fortune by becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness and very easily going back home, back to Godhead. In many other places in the Vedic literature, it is found that even the demigods want to come to this land of Bhardvarsha. A foolish person may desire to be promoted to the heavenly planets as a result of his pious activities. But even the demigods from the heavenly planets want to come to Bhardvarsha and achieve bodies that may be very easily used to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu repeatedly says, Bharata Bhumite Haila Manusha Janma Yar Janma Sartaka Kari Kara Para Upakara. A human being born in the land of Bhardvarsha
has a special prerogative to develop Krishna consciousness. Therefore, those already born in Bharatvarsha should take lessons from the Shastras and Guru and should fully take advantage of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to be fully equipped with Krishna consciousness. By taking advantage of Krishna consciousness, one goes back home, back to Godhead. Yanti madhyajino pimam. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore spreading this facility to human society by opening many, many centers all over the world so that people may associate with the pure devotees of this Krishna consciousness movement, understand the science of Krishna consciousness, and ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. So the verse again. Yad yatra na swarga sukha vasheshitam shvistasya suktasya kritasya shobanam tena janabe smriti majjanmanasyat varshe harir yad bhajatam shamtanoti. We are now living in the heavenly planets, undoubtedly, as a result of our having performed ritualistic ceremonies, pious activities, and jagas, and having studied the Vedas. However, our lives here will one day be finished. We pray at that time, if any merit remains from our pious activities, we may again take birth in Bharatvarsha as human beings able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind that he personally comes to the land of Bharatvarsha and expands the good fortune of its people. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Sitarane. It is said by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that after going up and down through this material universe, Brahmande, Brahmate, Kon, Bhagavan, Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Vish. So the universe is a place where everyone's wandering, because everyone's looking for a happiness. And we're going to either the heavenly planets or to the hellish planets, or we come here to the middle planetary systems looking for happiness. Because real happiness begins, if we want to be happy, then we have to stop death. Even Hiranyakashipu understood, if he was going to control the universe, first of all, he had to stop himself from dying. It's very hard to claim that you're the supreme controller when you can't even control your toenails from changing. The demigods may be bowing down before you, but your toenail's not even listening to you. We're just dreaming that we're controlling everything, but actually we can't even control even the tip of our finger. Nor do we even know what's going on in the back of our head, although we think we know everything. So this is generally called illusion. If one wants to at least become peaceful, as Krishna says, because nashti buddhya yuktasya, nacha yuktasya bhavanaha, nacha bhavyanta shantir, ashantasya kutak sukham. That one who's not in Krishna consciousness or spiritual consciousness can have neither a controlled mind nor a steady intelligence, without which there can be no happiness, Well, there can be no peace. And where can there be any happiness without peace? Unless we first of all become peaceful, then how can we expect to be happy? So peacefulness means that in any circumstance, we're satisfied. Generally, our mind doesn't let us be satisfied in any circumstance. Whatever circumstance we're in, we're looking around and we're giving a critique over everything in the room. We just look around. This person's not so good, not so bad. This person, they're sorry, they have to pull it a little bit that way. Their sikha is not on straight. They have the wrong color clothes. It's not evenly dyed. We have a critique over everything in this world at every moment. We want to either change it or we're disturbed that why did they change it without my permission? In other words, as long as we're hankering to change this world to be a better place for me to live in, maybe the sun can shine a little bit brighter because it's only 21 degrees and I want it 22. As long as we're not satisfied with our present circumstances, and not just for some moments, when everyone puts up their hands, when we hear our name and they put up their hands and they go, Jai! All right, that's all right. One more time, Jai! So as long as we're not satisfied at every moment, either we're trying to change our circumstances for what we think would be the more suitable circumstances for our comfort or our security, or we're lamenting, why did things change? I liked them the way they were. Why did it happen to happen to me? I was happy being 25 years old. Why do I have to be 27 now? So everyone in this world is always unhappy. And what is the source of the unhappiness? It's our mind is telling us there is no reason to be happy. Everything is not going the way you think it should go. Of course, if we accepted everything as it is already, and as it will be, and as it was, then there's no reason to be unhappy. But because our minds are filled with these understandings, hankering, lamentation, and other things that go along with that, and because we accept them as real, because our intelligence is not fixed in the eternity, therefore we actually get caught up in the minute-to-minute, day-by-day circumstances that we're under, and we're thinking that everything should change because it's not the way I want them to be. And of course they will change. Sometimes they'll change closer to the way we want them to be, and another moment it'll change in a way that we don't want it to be. So one who's not fixed in Krishna consciousness, one who's not aware that he's an eternal soul and that we're not the controller of our circumstances, they cannot be peaceful. And if we're not peaceful, there's no question of being joyful. Indriyanam hi charitam yanmano nuvidiyate tadasya harati pragya vayur navam ivambasi. Just like a boat on the water gets swept away by a strong wind, so even one of the roaming senses in which the mind becomes fixed can carry away a man's intelligence. So if we look around and we get too much attached to something in this world, some circumstances, and we start developing hankering and lamentation, then our intelligence will be carried away. That's the way the material world works. And there are a class of people, Krishna says, Tasma Dyasya, Bhagavad Gita is so nice. You just quote a few verses from Bhagavad Gita. Tasmadyasya Mahabaho Nigrihi Nami Sarvashaha Indriyarandiyartebhyas Tasya Pragya Pratishtita. Therefore, Arjuna, One whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. So most people think that this is horrible. These people are denying their emotions. They're just caught up in this artificial restraining their senses from their objects. They have no love, no appreciation. They're so cold. They're just like ice. The typical brahmachari, he goes home, and the mother comes to embrace him and says, "Wait a second, don't touch me, I'm a brahmachari." But that's not really what we're talking about. It's the whole mental conception that I need something and I don't have what I need. And the whole world is caught up like that. The whole society is caught up like that. So-called advancement. Just meant to make people dissatisfied. If everyone was satisfied, then there wouldn't be anyone to exploit. There wouldn't be any fun in this world. And especially in modern society, they've created a whole system of just making people unhappy. You don't have the latest of something. There's something missing in your life. You just got the wrong something. You got the wrong iPod. You got the wrong iPhone. You got the wrong wife. You got the wrong husband. You can do better with your children. You got the wrong stomach. We can give you a different one. Something's wrong, and we can replace it. The super duper, the power user. Don't be a weakling, become a power user. Therefore, the whole society is meant to keep people in the mentality of running at the ass, running after the carrot. And if he gets the carrot, everything will become perfect. And as we heard from the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, generally when we come to the Hare Krishna movement, we don't really have that much experience with Krishna. We have some faith that there is a Krishna somewhere out there, or here, or wherever, or inside somewhere. But our connection is not very strong. We don't have that much experience of what it's actually like to be Krishna conscious. Of course, if we're fortunate due to some Sukriti, we may have had some spiritual experience that gave us a higher taste, and therefore we become convinced, but our memories are generally not that strong and we forget after some time. Therefore, Krishna says, Chatura vidha bhajante mam jana sukritina arjuna. Four kinds of pious persons, they approach us, approach me. This is persons acting in the varna and ashram system. Of course, in Kali Yuga, we don't have varna and ashram, nor do we even understand it. Within our Hare Krishna movement, we have this move towards varna and ashram. And sometimes it's not very clear exactly how it fits into the Hare Krishna movement. But varna and ashram, in one sense, is so complicated that we couldn't possibly even begin to apply it, because we don't even know what it is, and nor do we have the circumstances. But generally speaking, there's a class of people called Shudras. Of course, no one wants to be a Shudra, although everyone is a Shudra in general. No one wants. And what to speak of admitting that we're a Shudra? We're imagining we're as good as God. But Shudra means one who has a tendency to lament. As long as we have this tendency to lament, then we're considered to be we have the quality somewhat of a Shudra. And why does someone lament? Generally, someone laments because they think they're their body. Why else would someone lament? If we're eternal souls, there's nothing to lament about, because nothing that happens in the material world has anything to do with us. If you're watching a movie and the hero loses his wallet, generally, most sane people don't spend the rest of the movie crying or looking around in the movie theater for the wallet, hoping that they can find it for the hero. We know it's not our wallet. We didn't lose it. So if we're not the body, whatever happens to the body is actually not happening to us. It's happening to the body. And therefore, there's no reason to lament. If something nice happens to the body, it's not really happening to us. It's happening to the body. And if something bad happens to the body, we haven't lost anything because we never had it in the first place. It wasn't ours, it was the body's. When we come to that conception, then we don't hanker and lament, and we cease being a shudra. Those who are not pious, they're called mudhas. When a shudra becomes pious, when a mudha becomes pious, he becomes a shudra. And when a mudha becomes pious and becomes a shudra and acts piously, then he becomes elevated to the platform of a vaishya, where he understands what comfort in this world is. He understands that if he wants to be more comfortable, he needs good food, for instance. We can't be happy unless we eat properly. People don't really think about eating properly. They eat whatever people tell them is good. And therefore, we have a whole society where people are not really that concerned. They just want to put something in their mouth because they're shudras or mudhas. As long as something's in their mouth and they're chewing it, doesn't matter what it is. If their stomach feels nice and warm and full and they can chew on something, everything's all right. But a person with a little intelligence, he wants nice food, he's concerned about fresh air, clean water, having nice relationships with people. He has some intelligence how to live more peacefully in the world and satisfied. And when a vaishya becomes sinful, he becomes a Naradama. He looks like he's civilized. He eats his dead body with a fork and knife. He tried to make a nice situation. There's music, there's dance while he's eating his dead corpse. But after all, he's more or less an expansion of Dracula. But it looks civilized. Dracula with nice tie and coat on. But that's not civilization. That's Naradama. He got some intelligence. He was a little pious in his last lifetime, or in this lifetime. He became eligible to understand something about civilization, but he's acting as if he's a Dracula or some kind of lower species of life. Therefore, he's a Naradama. Looks like a civilized person, but he's actually a two-legged animal. And when one further comes to the platform of utilizing one's intelligence, then one becomes a Gyani. He understands the purpose of life is not to live comfortably in the material world, although he knows how to live comfortably, but he also wants some knowledge of what the higher realms of consciousness are. He wants to come to the mode of goodness. He becomes a Gyani. He wants to understand things properly, how to give up hankering, lamentation. Generally, Gyani learns tolerance. And then he comes to the platform of a actual Brahman. Instead of just a jignasu, inquisitiveness, brahmajanatiti brahmanaha, when one actually realizes Brahman, then he becomes a brahmana. He actually has knowledge. So generally in the beginning, we're shudras, and we have to swadhyaya, we have to hear knowledge from the right source about the self, not just any ordinary knowledge, but knowledge about the self. And especially knowledge that we shouldn't be unhappy with our present circumstance. Not that I'm going to work the whole life in Krishna consciousness. At the end, if I'm fortunate, I'll go to the heavenly planets. And I'll meet my soulmate there amongst the apsaras. I'll get my special cottage in the Nanda Kandana forest, and everything will be perfect. Me, the apsara, and Soma, and everything is fine. Bathe in the ocean of milk, keep my personal beauty. Whatever. This is all. Here we find that even the apsaras, the demigods, whatever, they're thinking, oh, we're not very fortunate. Those Hare Krishnas in Radha Desh, they're fortunate. Because here in the earthly planet, we can hear and it makes some sense. We can hear knowledge. And what is that knowledge? Swadhyaya, about the self, that we have to perform dhanam, dhamma, and jaga. We have to control our mind and senses. Not that we become a Hare Krishna, and now we can eat anything, anytime, any quantity, and because I'm a Hare Krishna, I have a special compensation. Krishna understands. I've given up so much for Krishna. He has to... At least I have to fill my belly up, make it happy. No, we have to sense and mind control, dhamma, dhamma, dana, and we have to become charitable. Not, it's all mine. It's mine. It's my book. It's my, glubdomen. It's mine. No one else's. Get away. I bite. Although I'm a vegetarian, I bite. Svadhyaya, and dhanam, dhammas, and jaga. And our life is meant for sacrifice. Jagna sankirtana, to spread the glories of Krishna. Then we can get out of this bodily concept of life, if we accept those four things. Theoretical knowledge is fine, svadhyaya, but there has to be dana, dhamma, and jaga also. And what is the symptom that we've actually are performing the activities necessary to get out of the bodily concept of life? What is the symptom that we're making progress? It's tolerance. Shema. Or as it says, tapasa. We're able to tolerate, perform some austerity. And what is that austerity? Apurimanam achala pratishtam samudra apa pravishanti advat tadva kama yam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnoti nakama kami. That a person who's actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So our real business is to become conscious of Krishna. We may try in so many different ways to control our senses, become charitable, to perform sacrifice. We may try so many different things to make some progress in this world, to increase our consciousness, but it's going to be very difficult, especially in Kali Yuga. Only if we have Krishna's association can we get the strength to actually properly work in this world to make any progress. Therefore, it is our hearing and chanting about Krishna which actually gives us the spiritual potency by which we can actually perform all these other things, get a little taste for self-study, for hearing about, and get a little taste for sacrifice, for charity, for sense and mind control, and ultimately for tolerance. And if we're actually absorbed, trying to absorb our mind in Krishna consciousness, the incessant flow of desires, because everyone has a mind in this world and there's so many desires going through them. Sometimes the channel is overburdened, is overwhelmed by material desires, and sometimes we think we're self-realized for a few moments. Sometimes we're overwhelmed by our desires and sometimes we're relatively peaceful. In any case, we're always in ignorance of our real self, as long as we're conditioned In any case, we're always waiting for the next blow of Maya to actually inform us that we're not as great as we think we are, as advanced. Therefore, one has to practice that there are desires coming through the mind, and one has to learn tolerance. Not that every desire I have to immediately fulfill, because it's my desire. And what are those things that we have to avoid? Vihaya kami yak sarvam, pumam sharati nispriha, nirvamo nirhankara, sa shanti madhigachati. That one who lives free from material desires for sense gratification, lives free from all desires, hankering, lamentation, delusion, envy, whatever, who's given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. So one who can give up these desires, one who can recognize and point them out, understand them by the process of knowledge, and take shelter of Krishna consciousness. Instead of becoming disturbed by what's going through our mind, understand I have to chant better. I have to hear about Krishna more carefully. I have to take shelter of Krishna. That's the solution. Everything else will not ultimately be a solution. Then we can become happy in any circumstance if we're tolerant. And what manifests, abhayam, we become fearless. When Prabhupada was asked, what is the quality? How do you know? What is it like to be a pure devotee? One time he gave the answer, you become fearless. We can't imagine what it would be like to be fearless. Abhaya. When one realizes he's eternal, one becomes fearless. Not by learning the martial arts and, you know, like a fly fly into the fire, fearlessly. No hesitation. That's not fearless, that's foolishness. No, fearlessness comes from realizing we're eternal. Then one can actually be fearless, although one may be very cautious. And if we realize we're eternal, patient, we develop patience, tolerance, then the result is that we can hear without realizing we're eternal. We can't hear this simple philosophy. It's just not relevant to a person who has an agitated mind and he likes it that way. Then we can actually hear, and when we hear, then we can develop real knowledge about our real selves, about everyone else, about Krishna, and then we can understand things properly. And the result is we can factually become conscious of Krishna. That's called abhayam sattva samshudhir jnana yoga vyavyastiti. Samshudhir. Abhayam sattva samshudhir. When we can hear properly, then we know how to hear about Krishna, and we can factually get Krishna's association and experience the transcendental pleasure of associating with Krishna. And in that state, we're happy everywhere. We don't...